Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
On 1340 WKGN.
Hey, big boy. I hear the way you read these headlines.
Tell you about the Hunger Games. Maybe we can go to a Golden Corral when we're done. How's that sound, Jenny?
Hour two coming at you in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
I love the impending situation we have here where you have ordered Uber Eats.
He's coming down the hill right now.
And he is showing up right whenever headlines begin. I love the situation you have found yourself in.
The guy's supposed to be delivering to the door. I'm hoping he can figure out where we're at. The parking lot here and the building. Yeah, it looks like Nate's looking out right now, so hopefully Nate.
Hour Nate, two headlines right now!
Nate, he's in a Toyota Camry.
Hour two headlines, Collision Course right now!
Toyota Camry. Thanks, John. James Harden's 50-point triple-double last night, the fourth of his career, carried the Rockets to a big victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. That's big for Houston. Houston has been reeling of late. James Harden was fantastic last night. Had a triple-double for the fourth time, over 50 points. Big night from Harden.
Yeah, the Rockets pulled away from the Lakers in the fourth quarter. LeBron and Lonzo Ball were so frustrated with the foul calls that they were playing defense with no hands. They were purposely and demonstrably, I don't know if I got that word right, I choked on it halfway through it. We're putting their hands behind their back to, as if to prove a point that we can't have our hands out or else you're going to call a foul, because James Harden and Chris Paul constantly throw their head back and try to draw contact and try to sell fouls, and you guys keep falling for it.
I was like, wow, Clint Capella said. I've never seen James like that, especially flexing after a dunk. Is that a new James in front of me or what? Never seen him like that in 5 years. He said it sent a message to everybody. So that's big for the Rockets. This guy's calling me now. Hang on just 1 second, if you want. Just 1 second. Hello. Yeah, I'm at the building. See the chain link fence, the small white building with the radio tower?
Just hold on. Yeah, we're fine. You go ahead.
Gus Malzahn says his contract hasn't changed since the end of last season. Yeah, it's the one with the radio tower. Yeah, all those cars parked right there. Yeah, we're right. I'm right in here. The small white building. You got it. Gray building with the blue roof.
That's fine. Go ahead. We'll just sit here.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Yeah, so Auburn, you know, they went from preseason number 9 in the country last year to 7-5 in 2018. That brought with it, notably, intense scrutiny on their coach, Gus Malzahn. 1 year after signing a 7-year, $49 million contract by winning the West, rumors of pressure by the Auburn power brokers on Malzahn to rework his deal have been prevalent since the end of last season. Malzahn shot him down during his press conference yesterday. A couple things I wanted to clear up, he said. First of all, my contract has not changed one bit. I was never told I had to change my contract to keep my job. I have the support of our athletic director and president. There's nobody hamstringing me from doing our job. They're both on the same page for helping us moving forward. You know what, Nate? It appears the order has been delivered.
Go ahead and bring it in, Nate. It's fine. Just bring it in. Yeah, it's fine. No, just go ahead. Let's go ahead and bring this full circle. Just cover the logo.
I was going to wait until.
What are you doing?
I was going to wait until the break.
Great batch of headlines, Cody McClure.
I can't think. I have no control over when they show up.
You do. If you would have stopped and got breakfast this morning.
Oh, don't give me that.
They wouldn't have shown up at all.
If you would have stopped this morning. Oh.
Well, don't say you have no control.
Well, I don't have control on when they show up.
Oh, here you go. Let's bring it in.
Oh, thank you, Nate. Got a napkin there? Oh, he spilled the coffee a little bit, it looks like. There we go. All right.
Who the hell Uber Eats?
Do what now?
Nothing.
What?
Go ahead.
You put it right in camera shot. Exactly what we were trying not to do.
Like Nate brings it in covered up because no free publicity, and Cody just...
I mean, I have my coffee cup in here every day. Yeah, I see your free pub over there for Coca-Cola. What about Nature Valley? Nature Valley.
Yes, because we work with Nature Valley's rival, and we work with Pepsi. Big deals with them. Mm. Big deals with those guys.
Yeah, well, there's not a Hardee's by my house, so.
You Uber-eated.
Hardee's is not participating in Uber Eats.
You Uber-ate.
Hardee's is not participating. If they participate, I'll order from Hardee's. Kevin Durant says Zion Williamson is a once-in-a-generation athlete.
Kevin Durant said that?
Kevin Durant said that.
Because I listened to a podcast with Kevin Durant on it, and he was talking about how dumb it is to call people once-in-a-generation talent.
Well, Kevin Durant said he's a once-in-a-generation athlete. I've never seen somebody like that before.
He's also kind of laughing, saying that if Zion's not careful, Zion's going to become very overweight. Like, he's not fat right now, but if he doesn't take care of himself, he's going to get fat pretty easily. He's a big old boy.
He said, I've never seen anybody that's a lefty that can dunk with his right hand like that and cock the ball back so far and jump so high off 2 feet. I've seen people jump high, but not that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what he's saying.
He moves good. Zion, he's protecting the rim in the half court. That's how athletic he is. He'll be a great team defender.
Yeah, Zion is going to be a stud. I am confident Zion's going to be a stud if he doesn't get out of shape, because his athleticism and the way he is able to go up off 2 feet, which I do think is an underrated skill, because it's easier to jump quickly off 2 feet. You don't need a one-step jump to get off one or anything like that. You can just jump. Mm-hmm. That'll really help as a center in the NBA, him protecting the rim.
You know, we were talking about the NFL and who could realistically win a Super Bowl. There's some odds here.
Okay.
Are you into odds from Vegas?
Sure.
I love Vegas odds personally.
Okay.
Well, apparently it's down to 4 teams with a realistic chance, according to Vegas. The Saints, the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Saints are the favorite, 7-4. Patriots are the second favorite at 6-1. Chiefs at 9-2, Rams at 7-2.
Okay, well, the Patriots are the fourth team on that list if they're 6-1. 9 divided by 2, Cody, is 4.5. 7 divided by 2
said
is
the Patriots
3.5.
The fourth team.
You said they're the second. You said the Patriots have the second best.
Well, they're listed second. That doesn't mean they have the second best odds.
I understand that.
Well, you don't have to point it out and correct me. I'm sitting here looking at it. I mean, they're just reading you
right
the order
now.
The
Chiefs, the Chiefs, and the Rams have better odds than the Patriots. Patriots have the fourth best odds. Patriots are number 4 out of those 4.
Okay. If you'll notice, it says Saints, Patriots, Chiefs, Rams. I'm just reading the order that they're on the page.
They set you up for failure there. That's CBS's fault. I'm sorry to CBS.
Just reading the order they're on the page.
I understand. Do you want to eat your McMuffin?
Chargers are 8-1.
Eat your McMuffin, and I'll read the rest of the headlines. Just go ahead.
I got the headlines.
I don't want you to get cranky on me.
I'm not cranky.
ESPN, did you see their list of the worst? ESPN did a deep dive on the stadium food. Did you read that story on Outside the Lines yesterday?
I saw a headline, but I didn't read it. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, concession stand food at venues. Not good. Not very safe. Not good at all. Nissan Stadium in Nashville and Bridgestone did not grade well if you are a Nashvillian that goes to Preds or Titans games. Those did not grade well.
what's the problem?
I mean, well, some of them were extreme. Some of them had moldy bread. Some of them had roaches in them. Just, you know, meat that hadn't been kept at the right temperature, just not clean. It was some of it was bad.
They're bringing in that drug meat, aren't they?
Some of it was bad.
That's what they're doing.
Where's Spectrum Center at? Where's Spectrum Center at?
That is in, they were just talking about that the other day. Where is the Spectrum Center? Hornets?
Yeah, I believe that's right, because I believe the Hornets had the worst grade. That would make sense. They were at like a 92% risk.
Of what?
92%, I guess, of whatever their high-level percentage of risk. I guess it just means risk of getting sick if you eat it, or risk of getting bad food. They were number one, 92%. Palace of Auburn Hills, American Airlines Center, Bank of America Stadium, Broncos Stadium at Mile High.
Oh, no.
And Yankee Stadium.
I've eaten at Bank of America Stadium. That was Charlotte.
Yeah?
The stadium. They had good hot dogs there.
Bet they had real good hot dogs.
They might have been left out in the heat, but they were good.
How'd you feel later that day?
I think I felt okay. I drank on the bus the whole way back.
You survived. It's fine.
I mean, I didn't feel great the next day, but I think it was because of that.
Everyone knows alcohol kills germs.
So they're saying that the food is just not. It's.
It's just they're not. They're running like a restaurant, but they're not taking proper precautions to serve food. Essentially, like the food is bad news. Which I don't like eating concession stand food. I usually try to keep it pretty simple. If I go somewhere, like when I go to Thompson Bowling, just give me the popcorn. Give me the popcorn or they'll have the pizzas from Papa John's. I'll eat some of that.
It's okay if that sits out.
But mostly I just like, I'll just stick with the popcorn. Something light I'll eat before or after.
I like hot dogs, though.
Raw, cooked, or prepared food is adulterated, contaminated, cross-contaminated, or not discarded in attendance with proper procedures. At one concession stand, inspectors found personal cleanliness inadequate, noting an employee's outer garment was soiled with a possible contaminant and an effective hair restraint was not worn in an area where food is prepared. Inspectors found hot food at improper temperatures and filth, flies, or food refuse, sewage-associated flies. Ugh, that's disgusting. That's disgusting. Well, think about that next time you go to a stadium, I guess, and get concessions.
I won't.
Maybe this is good. Maybe this – what was that book? Was it The Jungle? Is that what it was written whenever the guy went undercover at, like, meat factories back in the day? Was it The Jungle? And it found, like, rats and stuff with the meat. And just how bad the food was in these, like, meat departments and stuff.
Is it bad if like, I don't care about all that stuff? I'd rather just not see it. Just serve it to me.
Well, I think you would rather them just be clean.
Preferably.
Yeah, like, so I whenever it was Upton Sinclair, whenever he wrote The Jungle, like, people were like, hey, we got to start taking this a little bit more seriously.
I'd prefer them to be clean, but my number two option would be just don't tell me about it.
Yeah.
I think just, the hot dogs were left out all night. Okay, but now you've put them on the roller thing, and it tastes like a hot dog, so it sounds good to me.
I do think there has to be risk of public shame, though.
Shame.
There has to be risk of public shame, or else people will just be more willing to cut corners. You have to know that in the back of their mind, like, hey, somebody's either going to write a book or publish something or, you know, video's going to come out of me doing something to your food. Like, you have to have the risk of public shame.
Well, that's supposed to be what journalism is good for.
There we go. Sean says that at last year's Super Bowl, U.S. Bank Stadium food was the best and freshest food he had ever eaten. Okay. He's taking up for U.S. Bank Stadium.
I love concessions food.
I usually just get popcorn and like candy, like sealed candy.
You never get, like, if you're in Neyland, you never get like a chicken strip tray or something?
If I'm desperate, I'll get like a hot dog. Like, if I'm desperate, like at the point of I've been drinking too much.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, I'll just get some popcorn and I'll just hold out.
I do love concession food.
But I've gotten to the point now, like, if I'm going to Neyland, like, I make sure I eat before, like, at a tailgate or something. Like, I got to have something in me before.
Especially if you're going to drink a lot in the stadium.
Sure. I tried, yeah, like, the chicken fingers, no, chicken. Like, I already told you. Imagine eating those nachos. Ugh.
Oh, I love the chicken strip baskets.
I
think they're great.
That chicken might be contaminated.
It might be.
Everybody knows if you deep fry it, though, the problem goes away. Everyone knows that.
Is that true?
No. Eat your food, and I'm sorry for nitpicking your math, reading the CBS article.
That's fine. I was just, I mean, I didn't mean to sound angry or anything. I was just reading it in the order.
Eat you a McMuffin. You're not you and you're hungry. Just eat you a McMuffin. Headlines are over. We'll come back. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Dice is on the beat.
Let's go to the McKinney team hotline. Let's grab Roger. What's up, Roger?
Hey, John. Hey, Cody. How y'all doing today, this morning?
Doing good. Cody's getting his headphones, but he's doing good, too. He just ate breakfast.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad he. That's good. That's good. I'm glad he. I'm glad he ate. You know.
Yeah, me too. I'm happy he got some food in his belly.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. It's always good to eat. You know. Do y'all feel joy when y'all eat?
That is the truest thing you've ever said, Roger. It is always good to eat.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I feel much better now, Roger. I just had a good, healthy, nutritious breakfast.
Wow.
And loaded with healthy carbs and proteins, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, I just want to ask you about the game tomorrow. I know Memphis, I just want to ask you about. You think Tennessee can? John Cody, just want to ask you. You think Tennessee at the? I know Tennessee played. A good team last Sunday. They played well. That's why I ask you, can Tennessee mindset, you think they can Tennessee can play well again, but can he get their mindset up and play again?
I think that the fact that there's a whole week in between this game, the fact that there was a week to celebrate and refocus bodes well for Tennessee. I would have been more worried about headed to Memphis if it was a 2 or 3 day break, and you know maybe they weren't focused, but a whole week and being able to practice and focus on Memphis, I think bodes really well for Tennessee. I think that they will beat a Memphis team that's not very good. They're okay, they're average, but they're not good. I think Tennessee is gonna win tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, me too, and I just want to ask about the Titans, Cody. And John Bosa, but game Sunday. I know the Titans played well last Thursday. Can the Titans win at the Giants? You think? Can they do it? You think?
That one makes me a little bit more nervous, Roger. That one makes me a little bit more nervous. They have extra day's rest since they played on Thursday last week. But the Giants have quietly been playing pretty good football since they started the season. What, 1-7? Since then, they've been playing pretty good. Now, they have beaten up on some bad teams and some backup quarterbacks, so I'm not sure how legit the Giants are. And I'm hoping that the Giants' offensive line not being very good bodes well for Tennessee to be able to get some pressure on Eli Manning. But I am terrified of Saquon Barkley. Like, Saquon Barkley is going to be the best player on the field tomorrow, and that makes me nervous because Tennessee has struggled against those fast running backs. Like Lamar Miller, when the Titans played in Houston on Monday night, Lamar Miller broke that 99-yard run or whatever.
Yeah.
And Saquon Barkley's better than him and faster than him and more explosive. So I'm nervous that Tennessee's going to give up big plays to him.
Hey, you talk about quietly. I mean, the Giants have won 4 of their last 5.
Yeah.
And Barkley has gone for over 100 yards in all of those games but one.
Yeah, in the Eagles game they lost. I believe they were up. Were they up 19-3, 16-0, or something like that? Like they jumped out to an early lead. They're up 19-3 in the second quarter. Ended up blowing that game, and it was weird the way they did it because they only gave Barkley like 4 touches in the second half of that game. So you know, there's an inconsistency still with the Giants, but The fact that they've been playing good and that they're not technically eliminated from the playoffs makes me nervous.
You know, the Giants, man, if they had just they had a lot of games early in the year that just didn't go their way that were like 2- and 3-point games.
Yeah.
If a couple of those had been different, I mean, I think we're definitely talking about a playoff team. Because at one point we were talking about the Giants as like the worst team in the NFL when they were 1-7.
Yeah.
I think the ball just didn't bounce their way a couple of times, and if it had, the conversation would be totally different. The Giants are playing pretty well.
Right. Yeah, so hope we can do it Sunday, you know?
Yep.
Do it Sunday.
Appreciate the phone call, Roger. Have a good weekend, brother.
You too. Bye-bye.
I think you're overestimating the Giants 1 or 2 bounces. I mean,
Atlanta beat them by 3. Carolina beat them by 2.
Those are the two games right there. Those are the two games that they let get away.
Jacksonville week 1 could have been their game.
Jacksonville, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants scored late in that game to make it look a little bit more respectable.
Did they?
I believe so.
Well, either way, I mean, they had a couple.
Same as the Cowboys. That Cowboys game was 20-6, and the Giants scored. I want to say the Giants scored. I want to say it was 20-3, and the Giants scored 10 points, like in the last 2 minutes of the game, to make that look more respectable.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers, though, the Panthers was the game where Gonneau hits like a 64-yard field goal or something to beat them. Like, that was the game you could look at and say that could have swung their season a little bit differently.
I mean, I don't remember these games. I'm just looking at scores.
Yeah.
The Atlanta game, you said that was more than a 3-point game?
The Atlanta game, they scored a touchdown with like 11 seconds left. I just remember because they covered the backdoor spread.
I don't know how you remember these individual
because games. Of the point spreads. Because of the point spreads and fantasy. And that was a Monday Night Football game, but that was the game where they got down to the goal line and Eli kept trying to sneak it in, and he couldn't get in, and the clock just kept burning and burning. And then eventually he hit the very back of the end zone to Odell Beckham, and Beckham made a great catch with like 15 seconds left to cover the spread. 5 seconds left. Yeah, 5 seconds left, they covered the spread. But it was an 8-point game. Before the Falcons had kicked a field goal right on the other side of the 2-minute warning. So, like, it was one possession-ish.
Yeah.
So it's not like they just had really bad breaks. It's just that, really, I think the problem was they just played a really tough schedule at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Like they had a really tough schedule when you go early season Jaguars at Cowboys, at Texans, Saints, at Panthers, Eagles, at Falcons. That's a pretty tough stretch to start a year.
And then they lost to Washington. They'd probably like to have that one back.
Yeah.
When they look at Washington now.
For sure. I mean, Alex Smith was still healthy at that point, but they lost a home game 20-13.
Yeah, and Barkley only had 38 rushing yards in that game.
I believe that was another game where the Giants scored late to make it a 1-score game.
Yeah.
If they would have started their season where they're, like, in their last 5-game stretch, like, if they'd have got to start the season with the stretch of, like, at 49ers, home for the Bucks. At Eagles, Bears, at Redskins, like maybe they get to 3-2 or something like that and ease into a season and have a better opportunity moving forward. But, yeah, they just had a really tough early season stretch and just couldn't get out of their own way. And then at 1-7, you know, like you just feel like, man, the season's over. Since then, though, they beat Nick Mullins. They beat the Buccaneers. They beat Chase Daniel and the Bears and Mark Sanchez. / Josh Jackson or Johnson. So, like, they've won 4 of 5, but when you look at their 4 wins, they haven't beaten anybody good. And I know that Bears win stands out, and, yeah, they moved the ball against that defense, which is maybe more telling. Like, hey, they were able to move the ball. But they didn't beat Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. They beat Chase Daniel and the Bears.
Yeah, and, of course, the Niners have not had Jimmy G, and the Redskins don't have Alex Smith. Tampa Bay, who were they playing in that game? Is it Jameis or?
I want to say it was Jameis, but I might be wrong on that. It might have still been Fitzpatrick. Maybe that was the game where Fitzpatrick got benched.
Either way, the quarterback situation there hasn't been ideal. And then even in the loss at Philly, who would Philly have been?
Oh, wait, no, that was the last Fitzpatrick experiment. Fitzpatrick went 13 of 21 with 3 interceptions.
So all four of those wins are against quarterbacks that normally wouldn't be playing.
Yeah. So that gives me a little hope for the Titans going up to New York, and it's around a 2-point spread now, I believe. I believe it got up to 3, and then some people bet the Titans back down to 1.5, 2 points. So I feel good about the Titans' chances. But this game does worry me heading to New York. This game does worry me.
Giants would need a ton of help to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, like they're not mathematically eliminated, but they're hanging by a thread.
They're all but eliminated.
Yeah, they're hanging by a thread. But maybe that's enough to keep them motivated this week. Although, like, it's funny. Eli's been playing really well lately, and Eli's trying to win enough games where they can't draft a quarterback, it seems like. Top 10 pick? Yeah, maybe you take that on Haskins from Ohio State. Get him in there. But if you win enough games and you can get to 7-9 and you're picking like at 13 or 14, maybe he won't be there anymore.
You know, the Titans really, like, when you talk about wanting to have a couple of them back.
Yeah, they're the teams that you could look at and say the same things that you're saying about the Giants. Like, they're the ones who have let a couple opportunities go away. Like, they could easily have a much, much better record. They're 7-6, but to me, like, if you told me that they were 9-4 or should be 9-4, I'd say, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, because you should have won in Buffalo.
You should have won that Buffalo game.
Should have won the Chargers game.
I don't know if you should have won the Chargers game.
But you had an opportunity.
You had an opportunity. You lost by 1 point. I don't know if you should have won it, but you were right there with a chance to win it. And I could even go back to week one against the Dolphins. You know, that lightning delay just and Mariota gets hurt and Lawan gets hurt and just they have a really – what I thought was, even if you're unbiased, you look and say that holding call in week one that negated a, you know, 65-yard Derrick Henry touchdown that would have tied the game, that was an awful call. So, like, they've had some bad luck in their games.
Yeah, the Titans are strange. Because they got three losses where they just got dominated, but then they've got a lot of really good wins where they just beat the, you know, I mean, handled Dallas, handled New England, handled Jacksonville.
To me, they've had two really frustrating games in the sense that they didn't show up.
The Colts and Texans?
The Colts and Ravens.
Yeah.
Like, they just couldn't block the Ravens, which was really maddening. Like, they couldn't figure out that game, the Ravens had, what, 11, 12 sacks, something like that? Completely shut out the Titans, completely stopped their offense. And then the Colts game, you just didn't really show up. Even the Texans game, I thought you were in that game really throughout the game. Like, if they properly call a fumble on Deshaun Watson in the, you know, start that fourth quarter, it's a 10-point game, the Titans have the ball, and I feel okay. Like, so the final score, they ended up losing by what, 17?
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like they showed up for that game, and that's just one of those games you lose. Like, you know, it's the NFL. But they completely no-showed in Indy and completely no-showed against the Ravens.
And at Buffalo.
No, they showed up at Buffalo.
Did they?
They showed up. It's just that they couldn't do anything. That was whenever the fever pitch of Tennessee has to get a wide receiver was at an all-time high because they had a guy that they cut later that afternoon out there trying to make big plays, and Mariota threw a touchdown pass to him in the, I want to say the fourth quarter, maybe late third quarter, that was right in the money. He's wide open, and he drops it, and the Titans have to kick a field goal. The Titans were up in that game until the last drive. The Bills kicked a field goal as time expired to win. But the Titans left some touchdowns on the field and fumbled a couple times, so they didn't play good against Buffalo by any means, but they showed up. They lost by one on a last-second field goal.
I can support the Titans playoff campaign, but I'm hoping they lose one.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to get in at 9-7, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're rooting for the Giants this week?
I have to. Or if they beat the Giants and Redskins, I'm going to be a big Colts fan.
Titans can still make the playoffs if they beat the Colts and get to 9-7. If they go 9-7 with a loss to the Colts, it's going to be really, really hard, if not impossible.
Especially if Indy, because that will mean Indy might have won out.
Yeah, right. I mean, well, Indy, yeah, especially, I mean, if Indy is 9-7 with two wins with the Titans, yeah, then the Titans can't get in.
Right.
So the Titans to be able to lose to Indy and get in at 9-7, they would have to have the Colts lose to the Giants and Cowboys, which is possible, but I don't think they will lose both of them. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Since he was 14, he's self-aware. He gave the first TED talk. Can't remember the name.
welcome back on the program. Middle of December. It's now the weird part of sports. Bowl season starts tomorrow, right? We have bowl games tomorrow. Usually it's this Saturday, right? Whenever it happens, you get the Heisman ceremony one Saturday, and then bowl games fire up the next Saturday. Are we about to hit bowl games? Yeah, Tulane and Louisiana fire off in the Auto Nation Cure Bowl.
Great.
I feel like looking at these Saturday bowl games tomorrow, feels like Utah State really got robbed. Utah State went 10-2 and they were ranked in the top 25 at one point this year, right?
Yes, they were, and they're playing tomorrow.
They're having to play North Texas in the New Mexico Bowl.
That should be a pretty good game.
I feel like Utah State deserves a chance to play a Power 5 team.
Well, they didn't win their
didn't win their conference. They shouldn't be relegated to playing North Texas. I feel like Utah State's better than that. I feel like if you're a Group 5 team that makes the top 25 at one point, you should be automatically qualifying to play somebody not named North Texas.
I mean, North Texas is pretty good, I think. I don't know. I don't know if they're good. I know they beat Arkansas 44-17, so they do have an SEC win.
I'd rather see North Texas get a shot. I would like for these bowl games, I think, to be good Group 5 versus solid to bad Power 5s.
I think that's a pretty good matchup. I mean, because aren't Boise State and Fresno State like classified ahead of Utah State?
Instead of giving me California versus TCU, how about you send California to play
Utah State
and you let TCU play North Texas?
Okay.
And let's just try to draw some type of intrigue of like Group 5 versus Power 5. Can we do that? Because I have absolutely zero interest in Cal versus TCU, and I have 1% interest in Utah State, North Texas.
So you'd rather see the Group of 5 challenge the Power 5?
I mean, yeah, I feel like we need some type of intrigue for these lower-level bowl games. Like, to me, Boston College versus Boise State, more interesting.
Is that not enough intrigue for Utah State?
The last ride of the legendary Night Runner, what the hell is that? It's just a guy with a really long handlebar mustache and white long hair.
And an American flag.
Holding a wrapped-up American flag for some reason. Well, no, that's not enough interest for me.
I don't know who he is.
But I'd rather see the legendary Knight Rider ride into a Power 5 game. Minnesota versus Georgia Tech. Could not care less.
Would it be better to see Georgia Tech versus Boise State?
Well, Boise State's playing Boston College, so I'm okay with that. But I'd rather see Army versus Minnesota. Or Army versus Georgia Tech.
Oh, God, Army versus Georgia Tech.
More triple option. Let's do it.
I guess I would prefer to have all the triple option knocked out in just one game so I wouldn't have to watch it.
Take Houston and throw them against a Miami or a Wisconsin. Like, instead of playing Miami and Wisconsin for what seems like the fifth time in the last, like, 10 years, it seems like those guys are always linking up.
Who, Miami and Wisconsin?
At least it happened last year, right? Miami and Wisconsin played last year, I know. So maybe I'm just saying it's happened five times out of the last 10 years for no reason. But I know they played last year. And if I want a rematch, I don't want it to both happen when they're both 7-5 playing in the Pinstripe Bowl. No thanks. No thanks. I think they should really look into the Group 5 versus Power 5 matchups for these lower bowl games.
I think Miami and Wisconsin are two really big names, though.
Yeah, but who cares about those games? They're both 7-5.
Those fan bases probably care. I mean, Miami's might not at this point, but
Miami's just mad and worried about what they're going to do to replace Manny Diaz, who just went to Temple. Because Manny Diaz had their defense, and the defense has been the only bright spot of the team in the last 2 or 3 years. I don't know what Mark Richt's going to do right now.
I still haven't signed up for Capital One Bowl Mania.
Well, you're running out of time. First game's at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. So are there none of those lower tier bowl games that you have any interest in at all?
No.
Not at all?
Louisiana versus Tulane. Nope. Utah State versus North Texas.
I kind of like that
one. Nope. Fresno State versus Arizona State. Yeah, a little bit more. I like the idea of Group 5 versus Power 5.
The Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl.
By the way, Herm Edwards just apparently signed got a commitment from the number 2 dual threat quarterback in the country. Did you see that?
Herm?
Herm out here getting a big time quarterback prospect.
I mean, what do we have on TV tomorrow for sports? I mean, I know we got Tennessee and Memphis at noon.
You get Tennessee and Memphis at noon, and the NFL plays on Saturday.
Cleveland and Denver tomorrow. Is that tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night's Cleveland, Denver. Tomorrow at 4 is Houston versus the Jets.
I think I'd rather watch a good college bowl game. I'd rather watch
a good college bowl game, yes.
I think I'd rather watch Fresno State, Arizona State than I would the Texans and the Jets.
Well, you'll see the ratings, and the ratings are going to tell you that you're
dead
wrong.
I know the ratings are going to side with the NFL there. I think I'd rather see that bowl game.
Arizona State, Fresno State has a little bit of intrigue, but I do think it's in part because of Herm Edwards, and because no one thought he was going 7-5 and making a bowl game, right?
No.
Everyone laughed at that hire.
Like tomorrow, I do think we have a good, a decent slate for being a Saturday in December. We get Tennessee, Memphis at noon. Everybody will be in basketball mode. Then you can choose between an Arizona State, Fresno State bowl game or watch the Jets and Texans. And then,
well, don't get me wrong. I don't think neither the Jets nor Texans nor the Arizona State, Fresno State will be enough to keep you locked to your TV. So it's good to have options and be able to flip the channels a little bit.
Yeah, I'm just saying for a Saturday in mid-December, like close to Christmas, I think it's an okay slate.
Jaden Daniels is this quarterback prospect, 4-star, top-ranked dual-threat quarterback in the country, headed to Arizona State. Never would have thought Herm Edwards would be connecting with the kids like that and getting that type of prospect. Ranked number 82 overall in the country.
Building something special in Tempe.
What if he does? Everyone mocked that hire.
I know.
I mean, everyone including me, I mocked the hire.
MTSU, Appalachian State?
No. I'd much rather see those teams play Power 5 teams. I'd love to see MTSU and Appalachian State take on Wake Forest or take on Minnesota or, as I'm scrolling, like Duke or Syracuse or West Virginia, somebody. Give the Group 5 a sense of pride that they're playing for themselves. Make the Power 5 nervous if they lose, that they're letting down the Power 5s and getting embarrassed. Especially these good Group 5 teams. Like, I mean, MTSU is a pretty solid Group 5 team.
Well, maybe that's why they don't want those games to happen.
They don't want the Power 5 teams to get embarrassed?
Yeah.
Because I feel like anybody knows that to make a good fight, you need a good guy and a bad guy, right? I mean, that's wrestling 101. Have a heel and a baby face.
Yeah,
good. Have an underdog to root for. What's your rooting interest in MTSU versus Appalachian State? If you're from Tennessee, maybe you root for MTSU. Otherwise, you don't care. Whoever you bet on, whoever you picked in your bowl, pick them. I just think it's bad business. Not smart. No good.
Can you make every game a David versus Goliath kind of game?
I think you can make these lower level ones that. And I even think, like, if you put Utah State against Minnesota, like, Utah State's favored in that game. So I don't even know if it's a David versus Goliath, but it gives you that feeling. You don't seem sold on the idea.
I'm okay with the idea. I don't know if you do it for every game.
I think once you get to the New Year's Six, like, you don't. Or once you get to quote-unquote prestigious bowls, you don't necessarily have to. I'm fine with having good Power 5 teams go against each other, like really good Power 5 teams. I'd rather see that.
I think I'd rather see still Miami versus Wisconsin.
At 7-5, no thanks.
So what's your cutoff, like 9-3?
I feel like the cutoff should be around where Syracuse where Syracuse and West Virginia are. Both top 20 teams. Iowa State, Washington State, both top 25 teams. I'm cool with them. I'm cool with seeing that matchup. I think that's my cutoff.
I still like the brand names. So, like, Miami and Wisconsin is a better game to me than seeing one of them against a lower-tier opponent.
One of my favorite segments returns next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Been a stressful week. Time to wind down a little bit. Time to refocus, getting a good vibe, getting a good mindset before we hit the weekend. It's one of my favorite segments, and it's back. Cody reads Kanye's tweets right now.
All right. Here we go, Ben. Got the music. Let's all take our deep breaths. Everybody knows what to do here. If you're driving in your car, go ahead and close your eyes. Driving down the road, it's okay. Jesus will take the wheel. Close your eyes. All right, deep breath. Here we go. Drake finally called.
You got to go way further down. You got to the end of the story. You got to, like, well,
That's like the middle of the story.
The middle of the story.
I don't know where you want me to start.
You got to the middle of the story.
I mean, I can go a long way. Start calling out to Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Let's start it. All right, everybody, take a breath. Calling out to Bob Dylan. Let's get together. God answers your prayer three ways. Yes. Not yet. I have a better plan for you.
That's deep.
Went to visit the James Turrell crater 2 days ago. This is life-changing. We all will live in Turrell spaces.
What does that mean? Who is James Turrell?
I don't know.
That's the problem, is the second one makes you feel good about the prayers. Yes. No. I have a better plan for you.
Still need that apology for mentioning the 350s and trying to take food out your idol's kids' mouths.
This is where it takes a dark turn.
Been trying to meet with you for 6 months, bro. You sneak dissing on Trav Records and texting Chris talking about how's the family. I told you I ain't tell Pusha about your son. It's all love, bro. But don't play with me. You stay too close to be playing all these industry games, bro.
This one's not as uplifting. This one's kind of scary.
Sending purple emojis when I'm dealing with mental shh. I need my apologies now. Not through Scooter either. Not through Travis. I would never intentionally try to hurt you, bro. I never even heard none of the diss records. That ain't my M.O. Never did a diss record. No tough talk either. This ain't about who could pay to have something done to somebody.
Whoa.
This man to man, bro. This been bothering me too long.
I'm talking about getting a hit, man?
Stop this already, bro. You're getting people hurt out here. And over what? Drake finally called. Mission accomplished. By the way, not cleared.
That one was pretty funny. Whenever he said he wasn't going to clear the record, that all started because Drake was trying to get a record cleared. And I guess that's probably why he called. And Drake and Kanye was like, no. Still not clearing the record.
Trust God. Drake called, trying to threaten me. The kid he had run on stage at Pusha's concert is in critical condition. Since the pool line, he's been trying to poke at me and F with me. So, Drake, if anything happens to me or anyone from my family, you are the first suspect. So cut the tough talk.
I feel like this has been the opposite of uplifting. This is taking a dark turn. I needed some uplifting messages as we head into the weekend, and this has just turned into basically, is this a... I mean, he basically has put the cops looking at Drake if something happens to him. This is basically just him saying that he's afraid he's going to die, and if he does die, we all know who killed him.
He running around like he Pac. I got a family and kids. 6ix9ine is locked up. Triple X is dead. The kid that ran on stage is in the hospital.
This is not uplifting me.
When Cuddy was in the hospital, he sent shots.
This is too dark.
When I go through stuff, he F's with me, and I'm his idol. I'm the guy with the pink polo that made a way for him.
I wanted things like this tweet. All positive vibes. All love. Meditate in positivity. You're giving me all the sad stuff, the scary stuff. This isn't uplifting me.
That's why black people never get ahead and we stay controlled.
What? When did this become a race thing?
Because we'd rather act cool than sit and have a convo.
This isn't a race conversation. We're just trying to have uplifting messages.
There would never be a Drake without a Kanye West, so never come out your mouth with a threat. Snoop is my elder and an inspiration to me. We both too high profile for you to actually do something to me.
Okay. This is a deep, dark dive into the mind of someone who, A, feels scared for his life, and B, is not well.
You get people hurt at concerts. Bro, stop.
He already made that clear. This is not uplifting. This is not making me feel better.
Ye never been easy. I navigated these waters before you. That's why you could be you.
This may be a bigger disaster than the Al Pacino show with Butch Jones.
We need to show the world that people can talk without someone ending up dead or in jail.
That's a good message, okay? Let's talk things out. There's some truth to that. Talk things out.
Drake, I'm not going to physically fight you like it's MTV boxing.
Did MTV ever have boxing? Did MTV ever have boxing?
I'm not sure what that one was all about. God sees all. Trust God.
There we go. We ended up with positivity. Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.